All right. Happy late birthday to me. Happy early Thanksgiving to all. We have so much to talk about. Whether or not that be in the NFL or the NBA, there's just way too many storylines to pick from for an hour show. But we're going to try to do our best to fit them all in. Sam, how you feeling heading into Thanksgiving week?
So you're not going to share what happened?
No.
You don't want to do like the brief version of it?
If you want me to go over that, I can.
Just like the briefest version, like a minute.
All right, so here's the minute version of what happened over the past 2 hours, just to show you all what a well-oiled machine we are. I get a text from Sam at 4:30 asking me if I want to do the show. I ask him when. He says, I'll be home in 15 minutes. I said, Roger that. Let's do it. An hour and a half passes. I still have no text message. Now, I wasn't going to bother him because I figured something may have come up. I don't know. But I also needed to check to see if he was alive, because when I texted him at 6, mind you, this was 90 minutes later, the response that I get is, oh, shit. Damn, I left you hanging. So, a little explanation as to what happened in that 90 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I just completely forgot about doing that. It's crazy making plans and then I don't that's never happened to me before. Has that ever happened to you?
I'm sure it has. I mean, I wouldn't say it's happened often, but I'm sure it has.
Like, it was instant. It was like, okay, yeah, I'm gonna record the podcast as soon as I get home, and then Jenna texts me with plans to do something else, and I'm like, yeah, I'm totally free, let's do it. Like, it was instantaneous. I think I got off the phone with you and got on the phone with her, and immediately plans changed.
But you know what? That's how it should be, right? I mean, she's number one. If she needs you, then you go.
So yeah, you know what place you are now.
Yeah, so that's how it works. Mm-hmm. That's how it works. All right.
So this is going to be another little tangent. We're getting off to a great start. Mm-hmm. Do you own a pair of jeans?
Do I own a pair of jeans? No, I own a few pair of slacks, but I don't own a pair of jeans.
So I'd say men of our caliber. Okay. Off to a good start here.
Okay.
Athletic builds, bigger in the caboose area.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
There's guys out there that are listening to this. You guys can relate. I haven't had a well-fitted pair of jeans probably since high school.
Yeah.
Just something about them. Technology back then hadn't caught up to our body types. We just do not fit in a pair of jeans. I can't tell you why. I need a couple sizes bigger because my legs are too big and the jean pants are just so tight. Okay. But today, my mom was like, I am taking you out and we are buying jeans. And I know that sounds lame. I'm 24 and my mom just took me out to get jeans. But you know what? The jean industry is catching up. They got these athletic styles. They have the stretchy material. I have two pairs of jeans I bought today. They are like the same material that women wear when they're pregnant. They're that stretchy, stretchy fibers. That I'll sit here and say they're comfortable.
You know, it's funny. I literally just had this conversation with one of my coworkers. There's actually a brand of jeans by a company called Barbell. They're called Barbell Jeans, and they're actually built for people who have that same exact problem, who have bigger legs, bigger glutes, and just have a small waist. And they're built to be like stretchy jeans. I've never actually ordered a pair, but they've been around, I think, since we were in high school, and they're a pretty popular brand now. But yeah, I agree. Sometimes jean shopping can be a pain. I know there's a lot of people listening to this who fall in that category.
Yeah, former athletes out there. I mean, we need to be heard.
I know.
I will. So my mom mentioned something. She's like, well, there's got to be jeans out. Like, what are these athletes? What do these professional athletes wear? They can't just be wearing sweatpants, which I think they are wearing sweatpants a lot of the time. But what are they? Like, what? What pair of pants does Saquon Barkley fit into, who has giant tree trunk legs?
I wouldn't be surprised if he's got most of his stuff just tailor-made for him.
But a pair of jeans? How do you make a pair of jeans for him?
I don't know.
Like, the dude's legs are giant.
He would need jorts.
He'd need them, like, cut in the middle. Or something. Like, cut in the middle of each pant leg so he lets those babies breathe.
Yeah, absolutely. No, but I get you. I don't think I own a pair of jeans right now. If I do, then they probably don't fit. But I do enjoy wearing slacks. Slacks are very different. Slacks are much more comfortable. Much more comfortable.
Well, if I could wear those Lululemon joggers that we both own, that we didn't know we both own, I'd wear those every day.
Yes, those are
different color.
Yeah, those are outstanding. I really, really enjoy those. I wore those today, actually, during a workout.
Amazing. Shout out, Lulu.
Yeah, amazing. Amazing. All right, well, that's a lot of apparel talk. Hopefully that resonates with somebody.
And that brings us to our sponsor.
Our sponsor. Oh, my goodness. All right, so we have so many different threads that we could start with. So I'll just give you the option. I've got
more pants talk.
More pants on. I've got three places we can start here, and I want you to pick which one you wanna begin with.
Give me the Vegas. Give me the Raiders.
No, it's not even that. So we obviously have all the Week 11 games that happen, which we can go over. We also have this report that came out. It came out about 4 hours ago, or at least I'm seeing it from CBS about 4 hours ago. It said NFL allowed to flex Monday night games for the first time ever, and it's all the remaining Monday night games, and we can play a game on which ones we think are actually going to get flexed the remainder of the year. Or we have the NFL player poll for 2023, which has been revealed. It's an anonymous NFL player poll that's voted for who is the best player, biggest trash talker, most annoying fan base, coach you'd like to play for, best stadium, worst stadium, and whether or not the turf grass is a real concern. Which one do you want to start with?
Let's go with the player poll.
The player poll. All right. So I'm getting this from SportsCenter and ESPN. This came out today, I believe. I think The Athletic has a big thing on it. But SportsCenter and ESPN sort of posted some of the results from this poll, an anonymous NFL player poll. So the best player, who do you think got voted as the best player in the NFL in this poll?
The player poll? Probably Mahomes.
Mahomes is correct. He came out as number one for the best player in the NFL anonymous player poll. What about the biggest trash talker? Any guesses? I'll give you a hint. It's a defensive player.
What is his name? He gets in fights with every single wide receiver. Is it a cornerback at least?
Yeah, yes. he's a safety. Sorry.
Safety? It's not. I don't know.
He is on Detroit. It is TJ Gardner-Johnson.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. As the biggest trash talker in the NFL. All right. Most annoying fan base.
This is going to hurt. I don't think it's the Niners. It's got to be Dallas.
Yeah. So I saw two. I think there was
it's got to be Patriots, right?
No, so at least from SportsCenter and ESPN, it was the Eagles.
No, that's not. No, I don't think so. I mean, yeah, they're passionate, but I don't think they're the most annoying.
I also saw another report today saying that there was like a tie between the Eagles and the Cowboys, which I don't know. I feel like I hear it way more from Dallas fans than Eagles fans. I wonder why Philly is getting that reputation. I wonder if it's part of me thinks that this maybe goes back to like all of Philadelphia just being sort of like a tough place to play. Like The Phillies, when they were doing their when they had that playoff run this year, the ballpark was being highlighted every single game. It's just being like the hardest place in baseball to play. Philly, going to Philly in the NFL is also a tough place to play. We hear all the time about the 76ers. Sometimes they get booed at home, even when they're like playing well. Like, it's just a tough place to be an athlete. And I imagine that, you know, being a rival team, or I guess just an opposing team in general, would be difficult, but I don't know if that constitutes as being annoying. I don't know if that's fair.
Yeah, I don't think it's – because they've won a Super Bowl as early as 2017. They went to the Super Bowl last year. Like, I think their energy and enthusiasm is warranted for this team. Dallas, I mean, they haven't done anything in 25 years, 30 years. Mm-hmm. So it's like, why are – these fans, and I mean, they're fair weather fans too. I think Dallas is such a bandwagon type organization. So I think they were the easy answer. It's either that or New England, because people are just annoyed that New England's been able to celebrate six Super Bowls in this century.
Absolutely. All right. The coach you'd like to play for, who do you think that was?
Ooh, I kind of think it's like Tomlin.
Bingo. It is.
Really? Still Tomlin? I could see Dan Campbell filling this role. Even like McDaniel filling this role too. I think they've gotten a lot of hype.
I'm actually surprised Andy Reid wasn't
true.
Wasn't number one. I feel like he'd be one that people would like to play. Did you know that Andy Reid is the most winningest coach for the Eagles and the Chiefs now?
That makes sense.
That's insane. That is insane.
Dude's been around for a long time.
I know. But you're right with the Dan Campbell thing. I could see that being one. Who else? Obviously Tomlin. I could see Josh McDaniels, I'm surprised, wasn't number one on that list.
Could you imagine if he was?
I know. you had mentioned Mike McDaniels. I just laugh at the Mike McDaniels thing because he's every press conference that I can't help but like smile and laugh when I think of that guy, because every time I hear him talk, it's just it just makes my day.
Yeah, I think of like the former players like D'Amico Ryans, maybe Robert Sala, maybe McVay even. Like, there's a lot of good coaches out there.
Yeah, absolutely. So the turf grass, they asked the NFL players if that was a real concern. 82.7% said yes, it is.
Ooh.
So that's pretty telling.
That's substantial.
Yeah, that's not a small amount.
I wonder what like position groups, if there was any like insights into position groups that said yes versus said no.
I wish I had that. I don't have that with me. The full poll is on The Athletic, and I don't – you have to subscribe in order to get all
– Oh, don't do that. No, no, no. We won't do that for our podcast.
Yeah, exactly. We can't spend money on this.
That's sort of the allure.
Right, exactly. how good of a podcast can you make spending $0? what about the best stadium?
SoFi?
No, it was actually Arrowhead. The best venue to play in is Arrowhead, according to the...
Oh, interesting.
And then
it's one of the loudest. SoFi is not one of the loudest.
No, it is not. And then the worst. What do you think? MetLife Stadium.
Washington. Did you see that news article that came out that they didn't have hot water in either team's locker rooms?
Yes, I did. However... I mean, like I said, MetLife was actually the worst.
Oh, what the? No.
The Giants.
No, FedEx or whatever it's called now. What is it called? Yeah, I have it right here.
Who cares, honestly? With the, like, if you're not getting hot water into the locker rooms, then why care about the name of the stadium?
It's just wild how bad. It's either that or like Cleveland or since, like, there's some bad ones. There's some ones that need renovations.
Oh, absolutely. And you're right, it is FedEx Field.
Yes.
So there's your little anonymous players poll. I thought that was really interesting because it's just, I mean, I like it. I like that these are anonymous because I feel like you're getting real reactions from
how many players do they list how many players were interviewed or how many players replied?
No, they do not.
Okay.
SportsCenter is really, really slacking with that. They're not giving us all of the information.
Yeah, we don't know how much the total population is. Who knows?
I know. This is really, I guess, cross advertising with The Athletic. They really just want you to go subscribe to The Athletic to get all the information.
Big time.
Oh, man. All right. So the next one that I want to go to, I want to hop to the NFL being able to flex Monday night games because I thought that was really interesting because it is for the first time ever. So let me read you this real quick from CBS. So this is for the first time in NFL history, the league is allowed to flex Monday night games, and we can see the NFL utilize its new power at some point over the next few weeks. When it comes to flexing Monday games, the league has to follow two rules.
Okay. One,
the NFL can only move a game that's being played between week 12 and week 17. If the league is going to utilize flex scheduling, the decision has to be made at least 12 days in advance. All right, so let's look at the remaining Monday night games, and you tell me whether or not you think these games are going to get flexed. So week 12, it is Bears-Vikings.
I mean, I don't think it'll be flexed because there's not enough time.
Right. Well, I guess that's – well, yeah, because we're – all right, well, then why would they even pose this 4 hours – whatever. Why would they even put that in there? That's an outstanding point. I don't know why they would have put that in there. All right, week 13, Bengals-Jackson.
You know what's – okay, I'm going through these Monday night games.
Yeah, yeah.
How many primetime games did the New York Giants get this season?
I know.
Like, this is wild.
Well, it was – it's all from last year.
I mean, they were 9-8 last year? Were they 10-7?
Yeah, but they're a very, very, very popular team.
And not this good.
Surprise last year, and it's Saquon Barkley. Yeah,
you know what I think is funny? I don't think Week 17 has a Monday night game.
Let's see. Dun, 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 dun,
dun. I'm on ESPN, and they didn't list one. But Week 16 has three games because that's Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
yeah.
Christmas is going to have NFL games and – NBA games. I think it was like that last year.
Yeah.
Man, it's going to be sad. My family's not going to see me. I'm just going to be sitting and watching TV.
I know.
Okay, so back to what you were saying. What games would we want to flex out?
Yeah, or just what do you think is going to be flexed out? I'm just going off of what CBS has listed.
I would say, like I mentioned, New York and Green Bay, I think they could flex that game out and maybe put Chargers-Denver, I think would be a pretty good game in that spot because you don't really want to take Buffalo-Kansas City or Philly-Dallas out of Sunday.
Well, so here, let me – for everybody who's listening and doesn't have the schedule up in front of you, these are the remaining Monday night games, and this is from CBS.
Okay.
So week 12 – Bears-Vikings, week 13, Bengals-Jaguars, week 14, Titans-Dolphins, Packers-Giants, mm-hmm. week 15, Chiefs-Patriots, week 16, Ravens-49ers, and then it says week 17 is Lions at Cowboys.
Well, I'm telling you, week 16, I see. It's the only ones that are on ESPN.
Yes.
Okay, so what games are eligible to be moved into that spot? Like, what network would then sit there between Fox or CBS and say, oh, yeah, ESPN, you can have this game?
I'm not sure, but, I mean, just based on these games, the ones that I've read, I think the only ones, like, reasonably, I think that you would flex out of there. I don't think there's any way you're taking – well, actually, now that Joe Burrow's not playing, I wouldn't –
no, get him out.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked to see the Bengals Jaguars go.
Sorry, Jake Browning.
So week 13, like what games are we kind of looking at? Like, as if we're pulling up the schedule, Niners Eagles.
That would be, I mean, you give the Eagles a full week. You give the Niners an extended time because they're going to play on Thursday this week.
Broncos-Texans, hell, that might even be a good game.
Yeah, I feel like this is the thing. Like, will Fox really give up San Francisco-Philly? I don't think so.
Probably not.
So we end up with, I mean, Cleveland-Rams isn't even that bad. In SoFi, that's not that bad.
I don't know. That's not – I think you're right, because it's going to be tough for, you know, networks to want to give up these games. I wouldn't be shocked if Broncos-Texans.
So that article said it was up – it sounded like it was up to the NFL to make that decision.
Yeah.
I mean, they might just go ahead and try to put the best games on. But then if you're Fox or CBS, you're like, hey, what – like, why are you showing favoritism to ESPN?
Yeah.
We're paying you all this money.
Week 14, you have Titans, Dolphins. You have Bills, Chiefs also that week. You also have Niners, Seahawks that week, which would be interesting. Rams, Ravens, maybe. And I don't know if you, I mean, Packers, Giants, that's a horrible primetime game.
It's weird that they start at the same time, too. They didn't even stagger them.
The 5:15.
It's really odd.
Chiefs, Patriots, I don't think you're taking out of that. I know that probably won't be a good game, but I don't think you'd take Mahomes out of that spot.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah. Ravens, 49ers, you're not touching that game.
Sure not.
And then Lions, Cowboys, you don't move that game either. So it doesn't appear that, I mean, I think it's really cool that the NFL is sort of allowing for this to be a thing. Quite frankly, I don't know why it hasn't been in the past. But I guess looking at the remainder of the games this season, it doesn't look like it's going to be used all that often if we're just kind of taking flyers on which games we think are actually going to get moved. I don't know how many really seem reasonable to move, other than Bengals, Jaguars, maybe.
I think that's the best one.
To move?
Yeah, I mean, either that or the Giants one. I think it's got to be used in a extreme case for QB injuries.
True.
Yeah, but I think the reason it's tough, especially if it's like moving a team to Thursday, if I don't think we'll ever see them move teams from originally playing on Sunday to then play on earlier in a Thursday, because that's just such a competitive advantage either way, or disadvantage. So the Monday night thing is kind of that same thing, where you're messing with team schedules and potentially affecting them the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right. Bengals, Jags, probably the one to move, and then Packers, Giants. You could even keep the Jaguars, Bengals. I think the same argument that you make for Mahomes, I think you can maybe make for Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars, who are the team. And Dolphins, Titans. I think Will Levis versus Tua might be kind of fun. Especially how Levis plays, you could probably sell that. Packers, Giants. Yeah, that's not – that one's – yeah. I think overall, I think it's just cool that, like I said, that the NFL is allowing this to happen. I'm glad that this is now a policy that they can use going forward. So,
yeah.
All right. So, again, lots of interesting things happening this past week. Let's get to the actual games on the field that were being played during week 11. And, again, so many interesting storylines from so many games. The Eagles-Chiefs game was really interesting. The Broncos look like they're for real. The Bills seem to rally around the fact that they fired their offensive coordinator. The 49ers are still ridiculous. If they play the best at their best, I don't know if anybody can beat them. Joe Burrow goes down. He's out for the year. So many places to start. Sam, which game would you like to begin with?
Oh, and you did you mention in this episode that I wanted picks?
You did win in picks.
Yeah, we didn't record an episode obviously last week, but we did send each other our picks.
Yep.
And I managed to win with losing the Baltimore Cincy game and the Philly Kansas City game.
Yeah, the Broncos saved you.
The Broncos, the Rams, and the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Who knew? A lot of upsets this week, like Seattle losing was pretty important. That Denver-Minnesota game sneakily was like two hot teams going against each other.
Yeah, very much so.
And I guess, what did you say in the opening blurb? Denver looked impressive. I don't know. I mean, they're escaping these wins, but they very well could make the playoffs.
I mean, that's fine. I think for them, that you'll take it. I mean,
oh, for sure.
They've rattled off like five wins out of their last six games. They beat the Houston in the early days of October. They actually no, it would be six out of their last seven. So they beat the Bears, they beat the Jets, then they lose to the Chiefs, but then they beat the Packers, they destroy the Chiefs, they beat the Bills, and they beat the Vikings. The fact that they have beaten in back-to-back weeks the Chiefs, the Bills, and then the Vikings, who have potentially been the hottest team in the NFL, that's impressive for them.
Yeah, they're now 5-5 after being, I think, 1-5 mm-hmm. to start the year. But the big one for me is that ever since that 70-point game where Miami just got whatever they wanted on Denver, this defense has been playing spectacular.
Yeah, and quietly, Russell Wilson is having an outstanding year.
Okay, no. I'm not letting that happen on my show.
Okay, let me just read you some numbers.
Please.
His completion percentage right now is 69%.
How many yards is he averaging down the field per throw?
He's thrown for 2,000 yards, 19 touchdowns, only 4 interceptions, and has an average rating of 104.3. He's playing pretty well, dude.
He's throwing 4 yards down the field.
That's okay.
No, that's not spectacular. Bro, Jimmy G could be doing this.
No, he couldn't be. And I have proof for you right now. Aiden O'Connell is playing. If Jimmy G was playing as well as Russell Wilson is playing right now, Jimmy G would still be out there.
As well, Russell Wilson isn't. Oh my god. Okay, because he's playing better than he played last season. I'll clap for that. But the dude is getting paid. Is he still a top 5 paid quarterback in the NFL?
I would imagine so.
So what are we talking about with these participation trophies? Denver is still in the market, will still be in the market for a new quarterback.
You think so?
They should. There is a clear cap on their potential with Russell Wilson as he ages. The guy is not escaping sacks and escaping pressure as he once was. That was his superpower in Seattle. Now he's getting caught from behind.
Well, again, I think when you're looking in the totality of his numbers, his completion percentage, yards, touchdowns, intercept, all that other stuff, and the fact that they've been, again, one of the hotter teams in the NFL over the past 6 or 7 weeks, he right now is playing more than well enough to get them to the playoffs. It's going to be a tough stretch for them, and they don't have an easy remaining schedule. They play the Browns, which
tough.
Their defense is outstanding.
That game is going to be 10-11.
Yeah, it definitely will be. They have to play the Texans in Houston, which suddenly has become a really tough place and team to play. The Chargers always give away games, but
facts.
They're still a good team. Then they have the Lions.
In Detroit.
Yeah, at Detroit. They get the Chargers again. They have the Patriots and the Raiders. And again, the Broncos haven't beaten the Raiders in like 3 or 4 years.
Well, they lost by 1 point against Jimmy G.
Yeah, and the Raiders are better now. But I guess
the Broncos. They have a 3-point win against the Bears.
Yes.
They have a 2-point win against the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you this. That Chiefs game, uber impressive, 24-9 on – is that the Thursday night game or was that the Sunday night one? I can't remember. Then they go and somehow beat the Bills, 24-22.
Don't say somehow. They still beat them.
Well, they did miss the field goal, but the Bears had the Bills had too many men on the field, so they got to retake that one.
That's fair, I guess.
And then the Vikings game. They win by 1 point.
Again, though, you got to look at the teams that they're beating.
Packers, Bears, Bills, who everyone is saying, like, the Bills are not good.
Look, first of all, the Bills are not good. That's a hot take.
It's not. No, they've not played well this year.
Okay. The fact that they, again, I understand the point that you're trying to make, but the Vikings have been playing outstanding recently. They beat the Vikings. They beat the Bills, who, say what you want about the Bills, are still a good team.
I'll say what I want.
They manhandled the Chiefs. I know that the previous couple games they beat some, you know, lower level teams, but they just beat three potential playoff teams and the defending Super Bowl champions. Look, I don't want to sit here and defend the Broncos. It's not something that I enjoy doing.
It seems like it.
But I think you're selling them a little short.
No, I'm saying this is like magic.
It's what?
It's magic.
Magic.
Yeah. It's not real. But somehow they're getting away with it. It's a card trick.
Okay.
You know what's the funny thing? So I'm just looking at ESPN, and Denver is sitting at the second spot in the AFC West. Who knew that was going to happen?
Right.
The Chargers are sitting at the last spot.
I know. So nice.
Chargers at the bottom, but they have a positive point differential this season. And they're below the Raiders, who are way negative. Minus 40. And Denver is way negative, minus 51.
Yeah.
I mean, first off, that's a clear indication that their defense is just giving up. The Chargers are just giving up way too many points.
I know. The Chargers are just awful.
I don't know, man. I would, with that remaining schedule, I think they have probably 3 wins left, I'd want to say. To be conservative?
I think they could easily beat the Browns. I think they could easily beat the Chargers twice.
Whoa, twice?
I think they could beat them twice. And I think they could beat the Patriots, and they'll never beat the Raiders. So,
okay.
So,
man, the bias is seeping through these headphones. Seeping through my phone screen right now.
Oh, God.
Silver and black.
Look, I think you're just selling them a little short. We got to move off this game, though.
Please.
Because we're just going to keep going around in circles. Let's get the Raiders game out of the way. I won't spend too much time on it.
They sucked.
Look, they gave that game away. they gave that game away to the Dolphins. And the most disheartening thing about the whole thing was I really didn't expect them to be in this game. The Dolphins have been scoring like 40 points at home. Their offense is insane. So had they had gotten blown out like 45 to like 24 or something like that, I don't think I would have been that surprised or even necessarily that disappointed, because that's kind of what I expected. But the fact that they forced 3 turnovers and they kept Miami under 21 points and they couldn't win the game is, oh, that's so disappointing. And I don't even want to put it all on Aiden. I know he had 3 interceptions.
Ooh.
One of them was just, I mean, kind of a heave, like he just kind of had to. but like, I think as a fan of the Raiders, you kind of have to take into account that you're going to get some of these rookie mistakes from Aiden because it's only his 4th game. So And he was subbed in mid-season, so it's not like he had all off-season to sort of prepare to be the guy. He just kind of got thrown in and is learning on the go, sort of on the fly here. So I'm not even necessarily mad at Aiden. I actually thought he played fairly well. He made He made some throws that I was very impressed with, but at the same time, like, again, my main critique of him is that he still doesn't seem to have a really good feel in the pocket. Like, normally, like, if you watch, and it feels stupid for me to, like, even bring this up. I'm just going to use him as an example. If you watch, like, Mahomes,
okay,
when he's in the pocket, he seems to, like, leave right at the perfect time.
So you're comparing, like, Aiden O'Connell to Patrick Mahomes?
No. What I'm saying is, what I'm saying is that sense
to leave
the pocket at the right time, and it's not just like synonymous with Mahomes. There are plenty of quarterbacks who are able to do it. Joe Burrow, who's not a running quarterback, but he seems to always kind of know when to move and sort of get out of the pocket when he needs to.
Russell Wilson back in the day.
Yeah, exactly. Aiden doesn't have that yet. He stands back there. He stands. And when he realizes that he needs to leave, it's like a half a second too late. And so that's the thing right now that I'm watching with him. And I think that more than anything has led to his interceptions. The fact that he just doesn't have that feel in the pocket. But I think that that's going to come, like, I'm assuming that he's playing well. Unless the Raiders end up with like a top six pick, I don't think that they're going to go try to take a quarter. I'm just guessing. I think Aiden's done enough to sort of show that maybe in a full offseason he's worth giving a shot to.
Wow.
So I don't think that they're going to do that. And right now I just don't want to be too harsh on him because, like I said, he didn't take, like, any of the first-team reps this offseason. He just got thrown into a situation that he obviously didn't – they didn't prepare him for. I don't even think he was expecting to play.
Mm-hmm.
So I gotta give him some slack for that. Like, I think he's just learning on the fly right now, and I really don't want to put any, like, super big judgments on him, you know, until, you know, next season. So,
well, I mean, let's be honest. He was a fourth round pick, so not a lot invested in him. If they were to get in that top six spot to be able to pick one of these really good. Or, I mean, a quarterback that they liked and they could potentially even try to move up for. Now is the time to do it.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I think I'm not going to be surprised either way. Like, if they decide to draft a quarterback, okay, makes sense.
I'm confused why they – well, no, you already told me why. Right, if they want to package Davante Adams for someone, if they want to get –
right,
a couple of those draft picks from the Jets.
Yeah, that was my dad's sort of thought process on why they elected not to trade Devontae. It was just because they might use him as a draft day piece to move up, which I could see that happening. Again, I don't think I'm going to be shocked either way. If they don't elect to take a quarterback, then I'm not going to be surprised because I think Aiden's played well enough to give him an offseason to see what he can do.
You are so easy to please.
How have you watched any of these games in totality?
No. Why would I put myself through that?
Then pipe down.
Is he really that good?
I'm not saying he's – look, what I'm saying is that he's shown enough to warrant a look at. Really, like, I genuinely –
they're looking at him right now.
I'm not saying he's going to be Joe Montana, but I do think that he has done enough – at least at this point, or is trending in that direction, that by the end of the season, they're going to be able to say, hey, we want to see what he can do with a full offseason. So unless he has some, you know, cataclysmic downfall, which I don't see that happening, like I said, I think he's done enough to warrant a little bit of a peek next season.
Wait. 3 touchdowns, 6 interceptions.
Yeah.
He's averaging less than 200 yards per game.
You also have to take into account that the offensive coordinator I think, third or fourth game. No, wait. That would have been his second game. No, third. That was his third game. Calling plays. Uh-huh. So you got an OC learning on the fly. You got a head coach learning on the fly. You got a quarterback learning on the fly. There's, I think, given the expectations that could have, that like, I don't even know how to say this. There's just so much turmoil in the organization right now that even if he was playing out of his mind, like, I think it'd be unrealistic to expect him to be playing out of his mind right now.
Okay.
The one positive that I will, like, overwhelming positive that I'll take out of that game is that our defense is actually pretty good.
Yeah, they're playing well.
For sure. Like, they are playing well.
So if the Raiders were to go 5-12, does Max Crosby still deserve the Defensive Player of the Year?
I think you could give it to him.
Oh my God. Wait, really? You think that?
I think so, because I think the MVP and the Defensive Player of the Year award aren't, I think the MVP is obviously normally given to the best player on the best team usually. Mm-hmm. And that ends normally being a quarterback, but I don't know if the same applies for, because J.J. Watt, I think, won it a couple times when Houston wasn't very good.
Oh, I think they're a playoff team. Let's look. I'm going to look. You keep talking. I personally do not, and well, I just, this is the reason why I bring it up, because I've listened to a couple of Raiders enthusiasts, and they're saying, oh, yes, Max Crosby is the for sure Defensive Player of the Year, and I think his stats, and this is me talking, his stats back it up. Mm-hmm. But there's going to be a point that if the Raiders are not playing meaningful games and guys like Myles Garrett or TJ Watt are playing in big games and still producing, they're going to leapfrog them.
Maybe.
Maybe, yeah. I don't think we've ever had that.
I'm looking back at the Defensive Player of the Year awards. I'm trying to think. I'm looking back at their records of the teams, because like T.J. Watt was a Defensive Player of the Year, but I don't know their record. I'm going to peek at it real quick. Okay, so when T.J. Watt won it in 2021, the Steelers were 9-7.
Winning record.
Yeah, but I mean, they weren't incredible.
Well, I'm talking about 5-12.
But I don't think they're going to go 5-12.
I'm just saying if.
If his stats are really, if he's leading in all of these categories, and I mean, from when I, there was a point, and this was, I think, last week, I had a picture. It says Max Crosby this season, 53 pressures, first in the NFL, 9.5 sacks, second, 40 quarterback hurries, first, 13 tackles for loss, tied for first. If he's like leading or first or second in like all of these categories, then yeah, I think you could give it to him. I think, again, the Defensive Player of the Year award and the MVP are a little bit different to me. I think, again, the MVP probably deserves to go to the best player on the best team. I don't know if the same criteria is necessary for a defensive player, because normally the MVP ends up going to a quarterback. Not that it is a quarterback award, but most
of it is.
Okay, then let's just call it a quarterback award.
We should. Quarterback
affects the game. Not, I feel like it sounds like I'm downgrading or diminishing the importance of like an edge rusher or a quarterback. But I think everybody would agree that a quarterback is the most impactful position on the football field. So I think even if you have a dominant defensive lineman like Max, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be an insanely good team. If you have the best quarterback in the league, that usually means you're going to be one of the best, if not the best team. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got you. I got you, man.
My thought process.
Man, Robert Quinn won a Defensive Player of the Year?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. The other day, I was thinking of Clay Matthews, and I couldn't remember his name.
Yeah. The Golden Locks.
Well, they had him and A.J. Hawk at the same time with the Golden Locks. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, you don't want to mess with Green Bay.
They were flowing. You know who you don't want to mess with right now either?
Okay.
Your team, the 49ers.
Yeah, they look pretty good, huh?
So, Purdy, 21-25, 333 yards, 3 touchdowns. Christian McCaffrey, 21 carries, 78 yards. He also had 5 catches for 25 yards and a touchdown. Brandon Ayuk went crazy. George Kittle is awesome. Deebo Samuel is awesome. What do you think about your boys?
You know what I don't like? I don't like the, oh, Purdy should be in the MVP. No, let's stop it. I don't want that mess again.
Yeah.
No more of thinking the Niners are good. I like how the Eagles won. The Eagles are the best team in the NFC. Let's let the Niners sneak up on them. But I think that they are – man, when Purdy lost those 3 straight, I didn't know if they were going to win a game. He went from one extreme to the other. He was playing lights out to playing awful.
Yeah.
And there was no sort of evidence that he could be somewhere in the middle. And he's shown that he can rebound a little bit, which – is really encouraging. Yeah, I guess this just goes to show the importance of a guy like Trent Williams and Deebo Samuels. Their ability to just unlock different parts of this offense for San Francisco. It's like they were playing with one arm tied behind their back.
Yeah, when they're firing on all cylinders, they look like the best team.
I would hope so. Yeah, I think they're the most balanced team. I think you get a lot of ups and downs with Philly, which that was a great win for Philly to beat Kansas City, but they didn't look good for stretches of that game, for the majority of that game. Both teams I'm not super confident in after that game. And the Niners in their wins have been, really convincing.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at the points allowed for every team in the league. The 49ers have given up the fewest amount of points out of any team in the NFL.
Nice.
Like,
give them an award.
Yeah, which I think the Browns right now, a lot of people are sort of crowning right now as the best defense.
Mm-hmm.
Browns have given up 180 points. The 49ers have given up 157.
Whoa.
Like, that's kind of a significant difference. That's like a game's worth of points, potentially.
Yeah, yeah. I think that is pretty substantial. And I also have to mention the Chase Young addition has done wonders for this defensive line. I mean, they are just able to rotate all pros in. Like, Nick Bosa is now having a good stretch for his best stretch of the season. Eric Armstead's continuing to play well. Javon Hargrave is still balling out. I mean, they are doing a great job against the run and generating pressure like they haven't done pretty much all season. They're able to get multiple sacks.
They can kind of do what the Jets are doing. And the only reason why I sort of point this out is because I was watching the Jets recently.
Ooh, I'm sorry.
And they just rotate out their defensive line. Like,
yeah, that's a solid thing.
Yeah, just like it's just a nonstop revolving door. Like, because the Raiders played the Jets on that Sunday night, and it's insane. Like, after every defensive play, like, they're just subbing people in and out. It's unbelievable to watch, and it seems to be like almost no drop off. And the Niners have the luxury of being able to do that, which is just so incredibly convenient.
Yeah, and I think it's their strength of that team, and they really go as I think this team really wants to be a defensive oriented team. I know they have an offensive head coach, but the strength of that team, they go as that defense goes, and that defense goes as that defensive line goes. because it just shores up everything else. It allows Fred Warner to just patrol and not have to really make as many reads on whether it's run or pass, and then just able to impact the game in so many ways. If they know that that pass rush is getting teams behind the line of scrimmage early in downs, making them in obvious passing situations, I think it just helps that whole team. And when they get off the field, it allows that offense to have, first off, more time and more opportunities to really do what they do.
He's a freak. That, like, Fred Warner's a monster.
Yeah, I'm glad he's getting – I mean, he's the best linebacker in the NFL.
Yeah, just watching him on every single play is just a treat.
Yeah, I think there's guys – like, Nick Bosa was defensive player of the year last season. But if you want to stop – if you want to have success against the Niners defense and be able to move the ball, you got to be able to shore up Fred Warner.
Yes.
Because he can just wreck your whole running attack if you're not getting hats on him.
Yeah, he is unbelievable.
Oh, he's fun to watch.
He's so much fun to watch. Like I mean, obviously, I get to watch, like, Max every week, and I enjoy watching that. But, like, when it's kind of – because the only – obviously, they're the team that I watch the most, but I tend to watch the Niners just because, you know, we talk about them quite a bit. And it's, like – it's – they're so much fun to watch for, like, different reasons. Fred Warner is so impressed. Max is just fun to watch because he never stops and he never comes out. Like, he's just got a motor that is ridiculous. Fred Warner
is, well, Fred Warner doesn't either.
Right. And so what I was going to say is that the thing with Warner that sort of stands out, like, Max can be super physical with defensive linemen, like, just bull rush people. Mm-hmm. And Fred Warner can too. However, he's just so fast.
Yep.
Like, he's a sideline to sideline guy, and that is just, for a guy who's 6'3", like 230, it's incredible to watch.
Yeah, when he's right and he's playing right, he'll have a play a game where he's lined up on a really athletic tight end or a slot receiver, and he is stride for stride with them in coverage. And it is just, there's no other linebacker that can do that.
Yeah, he's so fast. I want to look up his 40 yard dash, because I have to imagine that it was ridiculous. That's slower than I thought. So it was a 4.6, but I mean, for a guy like that,
yeah.
It certainly seems like he's running way faster than that. Like, his quickness from side to side is just incredible. So the 49ers rolled. They don't have a super tough remaining schedule. They have the Eagles.
Well, how dare you say that? How dare you jinx them with that?
Well, they have the Eagles and the Ravens, but, like, everybody else,
they got some tricky games. They got those two. They got the two games against the Seahawks. So if they were to mess around and lose both of them, they're not going to win the division. So it's in front of them.
Yeah, I guess you're right. The Seahawks, they always play them tough. It could go either way, but other than I think that they'll probably split the Eagles and Ravens. That would be my guess. Like, they're going to beat one of those teams.
Yeah. Hopefully it's probably going to be that game in San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
Against Baltimore.
Yeah.
Because that game against Philly in – is that late November, early December? What is that? Is that early December? That might be a little chilly.
It's going to be cold.
Yeah. If they were able to win one of those games, I think most people think that those – either the Eagles or the Ravens are the second-best team in the NFL
right
now. So if they were able to beat one of those teams or both of those teams, I think those are big statement wins.
Oh, absolutely.
For them.
Absolutely. Christmas night, we get Ravens 49ers. What a treat.
That's my present.
Yeah, what a treat that is.
I should say they are going to be without Talanuya Hufanga. I hope I nailed that. Because he tore his ACL.
Oh, that's
it. Whoa, choo-choo-choo, hop on the train.
Yeah. I didn't hear about the Ufunga injury.
Oh, yeah. Did you not see that clip of when he got his ankles absolutely broken by Rashad White?
No.
Yeah, that's the play that he tore up his knee.
Oh, man. That's
He is a mini Fred Warner.
Yeah, he's fun to watch. He is. I love watching him as well. You guys got a lot of just
dogs.
And the last game I want to touch on is the Eagles Chiefs game. Eagles win 21-17. The power rankings right now from ESPN have Philly at 1, San Fran at 2, and they dropped the city to 3. They bumped Detroit up to 4 and Baltimore up to 5. So, I mean, the fact that they were able to go – I know that Jalen Hurts, didn't play his A-plus game, but the fact that they were able to go to Kansas City and win that game, that's got to be a huge, just monkey off their back.
Yeah, I think that is huge for them. Like, there's no Super Bowl hangover for that team that – usually the team that ends up losing the Super Bowl isn't the one that's able to rebound, but they've been able to continue on this 9-1 stretch and able to, like you said, win in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Kind of silencing all potential, internal doubts for them, and didn't really play their best in doing so.
Well, you want to hear something really interesting about this Monday night game? So – this is from Yahoo Sports. Eagles-Chiefs showdown was the most watched Monday night football game in nearly 3 decades.
Oh.
Making it the largest audience for a Monday night regular season game since a Green Bay Packers-Dallas Cowboys game in November of 1996.
Okay.
This Monday's game was reportedly the sixth largest audience overall since the 1991 season.
For Monday nights or for any?
For any.
Wow. I think I assume that Taylor was going to be there.
Well, okay. So this is saying this Monday's game. It's not specifying whether or not it was any. So it could be just the Monday night football games. Either way. Yeah, I wonder how much the Taylor Swift thing, if people thought she was going to be there, how much that played into it.
And you know what? I think the Kelseys as a tandem are – probably the biggest thing going right now for the NFL.
Probably.
The both of them with their podcasts and their story and, obviously the Taylor Swift thing. So it's it was must watch. And it just so happens that they're the two best teams in the NFL.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you worried? Well, obviously you're not worried about the Chiefs, but
no,
you're familiar with them. What's missing with them?
Well, their lack of a number one wide receiver is really starting to show, I think. I mean, if you take away Travis Kelce, it really is like who else are you going to throw to kind of deal. No, Justin Watson, Rashid Rice, Hardman, Kadarius Toney, none of them have really separated to being a pure bona fide number one wide receiver. So I think really that's what – I mean, Travis Kelce, they kept him quiet. He had 7 catches for 44 yards. He leaked out on a very short touchdown pass that was to the left side very early on in that game. But
– he also lost a fumble.
Yeah, he did lose a fumble. They just don't have a number one wide – or at least a reliable number one wide receiver at the moment. It very much seems like a just kind of – where's Waldo for who's going to show up each week and be that guy? And if it's not Travis Kelce, then they seem to be struggling. Honestly, their second best offensive player, I mean, and I'm excluding Mahomes from this conversation, is Isaiah Pacheco.
For sure.
And that dude is so fun to watch.
Yeah, he runs super angry. Yeah.
He runs harder than anybody I've seen in a long time.
I would think it'd be Kadarius Toney because he looked active on those punt returns.
Yeah, but again, he had 2 catches for 12 yards.
Yeah, but I mean, they just got to find – because these guys are going to be single covered. What, Mahomes had 3 guys on him the whole night? I mean, I'm sorry, Kelce?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sorry, Ma'ato?
Yeah. I know that Rashid Rice was getting a lot of love early on in the season.
He's catching touchdowns.
Yeah, so I've seen a couple articles suggesting that maybe if there's going to be a number one wide receiver to emerge, it needs to be him.
But is it too late? Like, wouldn't we have already seen a guy?
You'd think, right? Like, we're so far into the season now that you think that would have come to fruition by now. But I don't know. And it's a shame for them at the moment because their defense is insane.
You're smiling, aren't you, when you say that? It's a shame. It's a shame for the Chiefs. You're just grinning from ear to ear.
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%. But I had mentioned to you earlier that the 49ers had given up the least amount of points in the NFL. Well, the team that's given up the second least amount of points is the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, they've certainly played well. I mean, they're in a division that might be one of the worst divisions in the NFL.
Potentially.
Probably because the Raiders are in it. But
well,
besides that, I mean, they've played really well. Especially with the turnovers that happened last night. I mean, they were really making it hard on Jalen Hurts. With that pressure,
yep,
they were getting to him, and it almost was going to look like a shutout for a little bit of that game.
For a while.
Yeah, I mean, they've played well, but Kansas City's got to figure out something. It's just weird that they knew that this was going to be a problem, and they only went out and got Mecole Hardman, who's no longer taking offensive snaps and no longer returning punts and right, returning kicks. Right. So it's like, why was that the only move that you made?
Who knows? But you know what? But you know what? It's okay. They can just not have a number one wide receiver. I wouldn't care if they missed the playoffs. I'll say it. Gosh.
They're probably not going to.
Gosh, what a horrible person I am. The Chiefs struggle. Oh, no. Oh, no. All right.
You ready to pick, man?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm done talking about the Chiefs and the Broncos. Like, we dedicated way too much time to those. Just abomination of...
Well, you're the one that said Russell Wilson is, and you quote, spectacular.
He has been playing spectacular.
Oh, my gosh. You better pick the Broncos. Who are they playing? The Browns.
They're playing the Browns.
Those are like your two loves this season.
My two loves. All right. Thursday night. Or sorry, not Thursday night. This is going to be Thanksgiving, so we got three games.
Mm-hmm.
Packers-Lions. That's the early morning Thursday game.
Yeah, give me the Lions at home.
I agree. Thursday. Ooh,
that's going to be at 9:30 a.m.
It is a night. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
At our time. That's awesome.
I know. It's football all day. Commanders, Cowboys.
Give me the Cowboys.
Yeah. And then 49ers, Seahawks. Niners all the way.
So the Niners are 7-point favorites on the road.
I think that's more to do with the Seahawks sort of sliding a little bit.
I mean, you got to respect. Seattle gets up for the Niner games.
They do.
And Seattle.
Again, I think that has more to do with them sliding a little bit. I think that's the money line being less confident in Seattle than it is to being uber confident in the 49ers.
I would not feel comfortable betting that.
I don't think I would either. But luckily, we don't have to.
Lucky.
Dolphins-Jets.
Give me the Dolphins.
Agreed. That's a Friday game.
Yeah, Black Friday. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, and that's at noon. on the West Coast. That is the most random time to have a game.
Hey, while you're shopping, just take a little bit and watch this NFL football.
Exactly. All right, finally we get to the Sunday's games. Buccaneers-Colts.
Ooh. Colts coming off a bye. I'm going to take the Bucs.
The Buccaneers, they just got lost to the 49ers. Give me the Colts at home.
Okay.
You hear that, Bryson? I'm calling your boys.
Gardner Minshew Mania.
That's what I'm saying, man. All right. Patriots, Giants. Wow. Wow.
Why isn't this a primetime game?
I don't know.
Let's flex this to Monday night.
That's what I'm saying.
Neither?
Wow. Neither? Yeah, let's just not watch.
Which team do you think is favored in this game?
I think you're bringing that up because you're saying that you're going to say it's the Patriots.
Okay, what do you think the spread is?
1.5.
3.5.
For the Patriots?
For the Patriots.
Oh, my God.
Did Tom Brady come out of retirement?
Wow.
And join this team?
I mean, I don't know if you guys have heard, but Tommy DeVito's the next up.
Tommy DeVito just lit up the Commanders. I know. The Commanders are way better than the Patriots.
I know.
Give me the Giants all day.
Yeah, 3.5. That is incredible. Bengals Steelers.
Ooh, give me the Steelers.
Yeah, I mean, until we see what the Bengals are gonna.
Yeah, I mean, they only have to score like 17 points, and they'll probably win.
Right.
Pittsburgh did fire Matt Canada.
Today. Yes, it did. So maybe we'll see some changes there. I don't know, but at least from an offensive scheme standpoint, but we'll see. Titans, Panthers. I'll take the Titans. Although I will say, having Derrick Henry on my fantasy team this year
been awful.
He's been terrible. And the crazy thing is that he just doesn't seem to be getting, like, a lot of use. Like, they're just not using him all that much. Like, the last two games, he carried the ball 11 times and 10 times.
Ugh.
Like, they're just not giving him the football.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Sorry about it.
Either way, I'll still take the Titans.
I guess I'll take the Titans.
We have a couple amazing games this weekend. This is going to be one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Jaguars.
Yep.
That is such an awesome game. Man, CJ did not play his best game against the Cardinals. He threw three. That was uncharacteristic of him. Lawrence in the. What's the spread on this game?
1.5. Jacksonville's favored.
That feels right. Didn't Houston blow them out earlier this year?
I want to say they did.
Yeah, 37-17 in Jacksonville.
That was such a long time ago.
Yeah. Screw it. I'll take the Texans.
I was also going to take the Texans.
Yeah, screw it. Why not?
Did the Jacksonville – who did Jacksonville beat last week? Titans?
The Titans, yes. I was thinking. Okay. Yeah. They beat them pretty handily, too.
Yeah, give me the Texans. That'll be a shootout.
That's going to be fun, yeah. Hopefully that's like a 27, like 33 kind of game.
Okay.
Saints-Falcons?
Jameis Winston versus Desmond Ridder?
Yeah.
How give me the Saints. Didn't the Falcons win the first one?
I believe so, yes.
I don't think – gosh. Jameis is good for one, like, absolutely phenomenal game.
Usually. Actually, no, they haven't played each other this year.
Oh, weird.
I was remembering that too, but no, they haven't.
I like the Saints more, but the Falcons.
Give me Jameis. Why not? I don't.
Give me the Falcons.
Yeah, I don't have any. I have no lean on that game whatsoever. What is the more intriguing quarterback matchup? Mac Jones and Tommy DeVito or Jameis Winston and Desmond Ridder?
Oh, definitely DeVito.
I agree.
You want to see it again.
Rams, Cardinals?
Give me the Rams.
Yeah.
Cardinals looking a little better.
They are looking a little better, but the Rams are coming off a good win against the Seahawks.
Snuck that one out. Missed field goal.
Yeah, Cardinals are playing better, but
Cardinals are frisky.
I'm gonna take the Cards.
Ooh.
Just go out on a limb.
I like it.
Go out on a limb. Broncos, Browns.
Oh, here it is. Super Bowl.
Give me the Broncos.
Give me the Browns.
Oh man.
Russell Wilson, we trust.
Yeah.
DTR, baby.
Right now. Bills, Eagles. Give me the Eagles.
Ooh. It's in Philly?
Philly.
Man, Philly has all these games at home. They get this game at home and the San Francisco game at home?
Yeah.
The Bills? I'm going to take the Bills.
All right. Well, considering you said that they were not a good team at the
beginning. Well, I think it's more to do about the Eagles. They just had this big win, big emotional win. It's on a short week.
Sure. Chiefs, Raiders.
I mean, do we even have to say?
Well, you already know I'm going to take the Raiders. What?
Well, so this game is a 9.5-point spread. I don't think there is a way in hell Kansas City covers that. With how shitty their offense is playing, and how well the Raiders' defense is playing.
Look, if they do the same sort of game plan that Miami sort of implemented against Kelsey, I could see the Raiders holding the Chiefs to sort of similar numbers. Their defense has been playing. I mean, they just held the Dolphins to 20 points on the road, so they're playing at home. I could easily see them doing something similar to the Chiefs.
Have they played before?
No, this is their first matchup.
Give me Kansas City, but I don't think they cover that.
Yeah, the Raiders, like, they're hit and miss with the Chiefs. It's really interesting. Like, they either play them so tough or they just get, like, blown out. Like, there's no in-between. It's the weirdest, like, sort of just two sides of a coin between those two teams. Ravens, Chargers.
Give me the Ravens.
Yep, and then Bears, Vikings.
Give me the Vikings.
All right, so we're at six games right now.
I'm trying to see if there's a bet to bet, like, Aiden O'Connell over 3.5 interceptions thrown. I can't find it, though.
Gosh.
Probably get good money on it.
So we're the only game I think that seems to make sense to flip on is Jacksonville and the Texans.
Interesting. Okay.
Because we're at six right now. Do you feel confident taking the Jags? If not, then I'll flip on the Jags. It's tough. I mean, that's the only one I think that stands out.
I can take Jacksonville.
All right. All right, so we're at seven. This is our biggest spread, I think, so far.
Woo!
So in your corner, you have the Jaguars, Bucks, Falcons, Rams, Browns, Bills, Chiefs. That's not a bad collection of teams.
I mean, it's pretty shitty.
And I have the Texans, Colts, Saints, Cardinals, Broncos, Eagles, and the Raiders.
Not a lot of first stringers in that bunch.
No. The fact that I have the Colts, Saints, and Cardinals on my team has not given me a lot of confidence, but that's okay. And then before we wrap up, we just got to do our weekly check-in on our Sacramento Kings, who just got
they suck.
They're
the worst.
Obliterated the other night against the Pelicans. But again, I think that was, I guess, kind of to be expected.
Not that badly.
Not that badly. I mean, they were playing their third game in 4 days on the road against a pretty good Pelicans team. Ben put it correctly, I think. Schedule loss. I guess it's one of those ones that you could kind of foresee a little bit.
Well, they better come out tomorrow night and absolutely light them on fire.
Man, I hope so.
Because I don't want them to lose. That would make them lost to three opponents all year, but have six losses.
I know.
I mean, that's just bizarre.
Are you a fan of these, like, back-to-back games against the same team?
I do. It's just weird that they had a back-to-back, like a road back-to-back.
Well, they had it against the Rockets, too. That's the second time this year.
No, well, but that was in the same city. Like, they had to travel, so they went – who did they play?
They played Mavericks.
Yeah, they played Dallas, and then they traveled to New Orleans and played the next night. That was just weird. I thought the NBA wasn't doing that anymore.
Yeah. Well, also, if you were going to play the same – if you were going to have a back-to-back in this little window, why not
right.
Why not give them a break after the Mavericks and then go back-to-back nights against the Pelicans?
Right. Weird. Just weird.
Like, if you were going to do that, I feel like that would have been the appropriate time to do that.
Also, New Orleans is not a great matchup for the Kings because they just legitimately don't have anyone to put on Zion.
Right. And they're huge. I mean, they're when you have Zion Williamson, Brandon Ingram, and Valanciunas as your big three sort of anchoring the middle, like, that's like up there with Minnesota as just being one of the biggest teams.
Yeah. And there's uber dynamic on offense. And yeah, I mean, it's just, it is what it is.
And the thing is that they're not necessarily sacrificing a ton of speed for that size. Like, Zion's quick and Brandon Ingram is pretty quick too. Like, it's not like they've got big, like, you know, statues out there sort of blocking the middle. Like, I think the Kings are one of the fastest, if not the fastest team in the league, but it's not like the Pelicans can't keep up with them.
And Keegan Murray got knocked out of that game, right? Did he ever come back?
I don't know if he came back. I have an article here that was posted, looks like 3 hours ago. 4 hours ago, sorry, from CBS, and saying that he is questionable to play on Wednesday against New Orleans. Says he's dealing with lower back soreness.
Ooh. Tickets as low as $7.
To the Pelicans game?
So what are we doing, Pelicans fans?
That's insane. You can't get anything like that for the Kings home games anymore.
Holy cow, they have Sasha, Duarte, Keon Ellis, Trey Lyles, and Keegan Murray all on the injury report.
Oh, wow. That's...
I mean, we're talking about another... They're probably going to lose that game.
I wouldn't be surprised if they lose. With that many people. And not to mention, I think Herter was out the other night against the Mavericks too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he came back against the Pelicans.
Just got to keep Fox and Sabonis healthy.
Yeah, Fox didn't play well last game. But
no, he did not.
They've been playing well over this stretch. Yeah, I think I'd like them to continue to play well, and then hopefully some media people will sit there and say, oh, maybe the Kings might be a little bit of contenders. But no, the freaking Timberwolves are put up there.
I know. Well, so... the Kings right now, again, when you go on these road trips, you just try to break even, right? They beat the Lakers the first game. They beat the Spurs, and they beat the Mavericks. So they've already broke even on this road trip. So if they can sneak one more out between the Pelicans and the Timberwolves game, then, I mean, even if they lose all three, you deem that as a successful road trip. But if they can eke one more out, then that's going to be – if they leave this road trip 4-2 on a road trip where they played the Lakers, the Mavericks, the Pelicans twice, and the Timberwolves, that'll be it. That's an awesome road trip.
Like, yeah.
In totality.
Yeah, and, you know, we're early in the year. There's not a lot that you can gain. Just stay healthy and continue to beat teams. Oh, gosh, they have a negative point differential right now.
Really?
Yeah, that's not good.
That's kind of surprising, given how many points that they've scored recently.
Well, they're only averaging 115 points per game this season.
Mm-hmm. Well,
they're giving up less.
Part of that's probably due to the fact that Fox is out for like 5 games.
Yeah, it doesn't help when I think they scored 80 against Houston and like 89 against New Orleans.
Yeah, they had 93.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, they had 89 against the Rockets, and they also had 97 against the Rockets as well. So,
oops.
So, all right.
Those would be good scores in about 30 years ago.
Yeah, I know. All right, everybody. Well, we have reached the end of our time. Thank you again so much for listening. We really do appreciate it. Everybody, have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Enjoy the football. Enjoy the food. We didn't even necessarily talk anything about Thanksgiving.
What are you going to be thankful for?
What am I going to be thankful for?
Or what are you thankful for?
What am currently? I thankful for? So many things. Hopefully on Thanksgiving, I'll be thankful for a good dinner. Do you have a favorite like Thanksgiving? Are there like mandatory Thanksgiving foods that you need to have?
You know, if we have longtime listeners on this show that have been listening every year, I think we have this conversation every single year, 100%. And think that it's the first time we have it. So I'm not going to go down that road, just to save people. I am thankful for Fox's healed ankle.
Yes.
And Brock Purdy's healed confidence.
There we go.
Good health with my family.
Mm-hmm.
And spending time with you, Jason, on the wettest day in Sacramento history.
Oh my gosh. I will never forget that round of golf. That will go down as arguably the most memorable birthday 3 hours of my entire life.
I think we were the only three people in the entire Sacramento area to have played that day. There was one other group on the course, but they started a little after us.
And did they finish? Did they have the chutzpah to finish?
Oh my gosh, that final hole was the wettest.
Oh, it was a downpour.
When we were just hacking away in that bunker in the middle of the fairway.
I
can't even get the words out.
I was laughing so hard.
Oh,
that was outstanding. That was such a fun day, though.
Yeah.
That was such a fun day. Oh, man. All right, everybody, again, have a wonderful, 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 wonderful Thanksgiving. Thank you all so much for listening. And you know what? I'll say that's what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for our listeners of this show, because you guys are the best. And we will see you all next week.
Suck it.